Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yes,
God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Welcome to RTRMI. We are definitely glad that you are here today to join us for our moment of worship and praise unto the Lord. I hope that you find this in a place where you are grateful to see and to know that God is still in the blessing business. My name is Pastor Robert J. Douglas, and I'm so excited to be here with you today. We're going to get into our service real quick. If you would just join me in a word of prayer, most gracious and heavenly Father. Lord God, we just thank you right now for everything that you're doing. We thank you for everything that you have said. We thank you for everything that you have done up to this moment, Father, what you are about to do. So, Lord God, we are just grateful. We're grateful that our hearts are open up to you. We're grateful that our minds have seen your glory in your word. We are grateful that our eyes have seen your provision daily. And, Lord God, I just thank you, Father, for this opportunity that you've given us to get up out of our beds, and Father, to just come and just to give you praise and to give you glory and to give you honor and to give you the worship that we have. Father, those that could not even be here, Father, I pray right now that even where they are, that Lord God, that they praise you in their spirit, that they thank you, and that they're grateful just to know that you have given us another day, a day that we can rejoice and be glad and to praise you and to honor you and to magnify your holy name. God, we just thank you, and Father, we speak to those that are feeling like they have lost hope. We speak to those that feel like that this is the end of their existence. But God, we rebuke that right now. We command right now that they'll begin to see your blessing, see your love, and see your power, see your hope, and see your ability to move and to do things in a supernatural way. God, we just believe that you can do the awesome. We can do the supernatural beyond our mind, beyond what we think, beyond what we believe. We thank you that, God, that we're able to see and to be a living example of your word on this earth, and a living example of greatness, a living example of victory, a living example of restoration. And Father God, let those that are feeling that way, feeling down, feeling depressed and feeling like they have no value. God, we command right now that you begin to send a fresh wind of anointing upon them right now, a fresh move by your spirit, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray right now that God will begin to break the shackles that are on their minds and allow them to see the hope of what you are doing, the hope of what's about to come. Father, we believe that there's a great expectation. There's a great thing. There's a great expectation in our spirit, God. And we believe that you're about to do something great. That you've already done some great things. You've already provided. You've already made a way. You've already shifted things in our world. But God, we know that it's not done yet. It's not over yet. There's more that you have for us. There's more that you said that you were going to do. And for that, God, we just believe. We praise you. We magnify you. And we honor you. I come against the spirit of depression right now. I come against the mind-blinding, mind-manipulating spirit, the spirit of depression that tries to force your people to step out of their faith. Father, we command right now that they're held by your word. They're held by the blood of Jesus Christ that runs over us. They are held by the power in what has been spoken and what we believe. So, Father God, shake them again. Shake them once more. Shake them another time, Father, that they will come into the knowledge and understand that you have great works for their life. God, you said in your word that you know the plans that you have for your people. Father, the plans for the expected and of good and all these different things. And Father, we want to see those good things. We want to see the hope at the end of this tunnel, the hope at the end of this journey. I want to see your face. I want to see Jesus now. And that's all that matters right now. So Father, we ask that you take our spirits and align them back with your word. Align them back with the will. Align them back with your purpose. And for that, Father, we give you glory. And for that, we give you honor. And for that, we give you praise. In the name of Jesus. Come on and give God praise. Father, just a little bit late on our journey. And I'm trying to debate if I want to just go ahead and play a little bit of a video, or if I just want to kind of do a little bit of worship and get into the word. Because I just believe that God has something for us today. I believe that he has something that he wants to say. And it's interesting because a lot of times that when, you know, it feels like things are not coming together the way that you want them to come together. God has a purpose and a plan in mind for something that he has and expected in. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, if I find favor in your sight, and Lord, hear my voice cry. I'm desperately waiting to be where you are. Cross the hardest desert, travel near or far, for your Lord. I will do anything just to see you and behold you as my king for your glory. I will do anything just to see you and behold you as my King. Sing it again. And Lord, if I find favor in your sight, Lord, please, Lord, hear my heart cry. I'm desperately waiting to be where you are. Cross the hardest desert, travel near or far, for your glory. Yeah, I will do anything just to see you. to behold you as, for your glory, yeah. And I will do, yeah. Just to see you, just to behold you as, oh, for your glory, for your glory, I will do, and just to see you, to behold you as, I want to be where you are. 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 Want to be, I want to be where you are. I want to be where you are. I wanna be where you are. I wanna be where you are. For your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King, for your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. Want to be where you are.
Yes, God. Come on and give God praise. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I'm so grateful to be here today. And I believe God has a word for us. I believe God has something that he desires to say. I'm so thankful that on yesterday, we talked about seeing God move. Look up in the sound booth, and there's a thermos up there. There's a blue thermos. Bring that to me, please. Thank you. I was so excited to see God move, and I'm just believing that God has some awesome things that's going to be in store for us today. And I'm going to get into this word in just a moment, but I want you to take note of a few things. I know that we come up here every day, and we come to church every day. We come to church, you know, with expectancy. We come to church, you know, wanting to hear a word from God and wanting to hopefully get something that will push us into the next season or the next adventure that we have in our lives. And a lot of times we are dealing with so many different things that we have to face on a day-to-day basis. We deal with so many different obstacles and opportunities that we have to overcome. And sometimes the task is so daunting. Sometimes it's like we wish that we could just have a little bit of just, you know, a push, or just things will be a little bit easier. But I'm kind of glad that things are not always easy. I'm kind of glad that in our adversities that he reminds us, and this is not even a sermon that I want to get into. I'm just led by the Holy Spirit to say this, and I really want to sing another song, which I probably still will. But I'm so glad that he allows our adversities to be adversities. He allows us to come into a place where it seems as though there is a bit of a struggle. I'm glad because of the fact that when there is a struggle, then there's also a victory. When there is a conflict, there's also a celebration of overcoming that conflict. Amen.
So reminded of the old song that we used to sing, you know, back in the day. We still sing today. I found myself singing the other day, you know. And these songs help us to kind of get that thing in our mind, to get our mind shifted. You know, it's kind of like a theme song. Y'all probably remember this one. Victory is mine. Y'all remember that one?
Yeah.
Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. But then we go on to say, happiness is mine. Right? Happiness is mine. Happiness today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Happiness today is mine. They say joy is mine. They say peace is mine. Peace today is mine. Oh, you know, we go on and on and on, right? Yeah. You know, I'm crazy. I'll be saying, the house is mine. That house is mine. That house today is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind. That house today is mine. That car is mine. That car is mine. That car today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. That car today is mine. That contract is mine. That contract, whatever it is that you desire, right? So we put that in a context of something that we know that will encourage our spirit and our soul. But if we think about it, the very thing that we begin to use in that particular song, in that particular scripture, it is founded off of something that goes far deeper than the song. It's founded far deeper than, you know, just kind of mimicking what somebody else has said. But sometimes, you know, just many of us have reminded us of that song. There was something that was inside of your spirit that kind of shook and like, oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember that. And you felt better about what you were saying. You know why you felt better about what you were saying? Because of the fact you believed what you were saying. Amen. You believe what you were saying. You believe in those scriptures. You believe in the word. You believe in those songs. And sometimes those songs come from being in a place where you was completely just overwhelmed with everything that came, everything that hit you, everything that hit your heart. But a song came and it begins to minister to you and it begins to bring you over to different struggles and obstacles. And that concept of that, of the underlying current or the underlying fact or the underlying principle that I want us to focus on today is that same foundation that will help us go through anything else that we come against. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go and turn our Bibles real quick. And it's a very simple scripture. And I was kind of reading it. And reading through some different things, very simple sermon. And I may not even be here before you long. We did start a little bit late, and I praise God for y'all being here. Real quick, John 3:16, very simple passage of scripture, something that we've read many times before. John 3:16, going down through the 18th verse, and we're also going to go into Hebrews 11:1-6. But starting back at John 3:16, which is something that I always quote when it comes to offering salvation to somebody. Because I quote this because it's a very simple principle that's inside of it that we all must know. John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That, say it with me, y'all, that. Okay, let's go back again. I want you to bring out this point. That whosoever. Yes, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to underline believing. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that that the world through him might be saved. 18, he that believeth, underline that word again, on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let's go down to Hebrews 11:1-6. And this is something that's going to
that we've been familiar with all of our lives. Hebrews 11, 1 through 6, and it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and is the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'll read that again, because I like the way that that resonated. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And if I were to take a title or a topic of my sermon today, or this reading, or this discussion, or whatever you want to call it, it would definitely be to just believe, that's all. Just believe, that's all. And I couldn't help but think of the fact that the power of belief. I couldn't help but to understand and begin to look at it about the power of belief. Because in this thing called the power of belief, it is where you have to conform take on a thought process in order for something great to be released. That is basically what we do when it comes to faith. We take on a particular mindset in order for something great to be released. And as difficult and as challenging as it may sound, it is one of the most easiest things that we could do. In John 3 and 16, it says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, and here's the power thing, believeth on him shall have everlasting life. And if you think about the cost for everlasting life, costs more than what you have to pay. Because the cost for everlasting life comes through a channel, or comes through an obstacle, or comes through a method, or a particular trail, or a particular adventure that you must go on to get to the actual goal of actually having everlasting life. Where God gives up the whole world and a bag of chips, he gives up everything he can just so that he can barter with you about something that he desires to give you. And all you have to do, you don't have to pay for it, you don't have to, you don't have to give up your firstborn, you don't have to go through some particular type of course, you don't have to be embarrassed by it. In some ways you kind of do have to be embarrassed by it, but all you have to do really is just believe. And he makes a barter with you, or he makes a agreement or a covenant with you based on something that he does a great deal about, and you do so little. And I don't know if we understand the power of that, is where God pretty much pays majority of the cost and takes on majority of the risk, and we have very little to do. It is almost like a millionaire that's coming to your home, and he comes and knocks on, he seeks you out, comes, knocks on your door, and he says, I understand that you want to start a business. I understand you want to do something great. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and pay for the thing. I'm going to do the investments. I'm going to do the research. I'm going to put the money up. I'm going to take care of all the licenses. I'm going to take care of all the restrictions. I'm going to have the team of lawyers. I'm going to pay for them and pay for their salary. Matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and pay for your salary and pay for anybody that you want on that salary. All I need you to do is just be in position and just be the person, be the face of whatever it is that we're deciding to do. And yes, it's going to line up with your Christian values. It's going to line up with your Christian beliefs. It's going to line up with everything. I've already made sure that it does that so that you don't be embarrassed. Okay? So that you won't be embarrassed. I've already validated the process and the system. I just need your physical being. I just need you to just sit there and stand in the place and do what you desire to do, and we'll make this dream come to pass. How much would you say that you have to pay? You ain't got to pay a thing. I already got that already covered. I just need you to chime into this covenant and sign your name on the dotted line, and we got it. We're good. We're going. Now, mind you, it lines up with your Christian values. It lines up with everything that you desire for your family. It doesn't put you in any type of harm. Doesn't put you in any type of shame. You, matter of fact, don't have to give up anything out of your pocket. Matter of fact, your bank account will not even be touched. So you ain't got to worry about the fact that you got a negative in your bank account because the man came and said, I'm going to take care of everything. So you ain't got to worry. See, sometimes that's what happens sometimes. See, I'm going to deviate just a little bit. Sometimes that's what happens. Because we look at when it comes to a great challenge, or when God begins to ask us of something, like this particular challenge here, and he says in John 3:16, I love you so much, I love this world so much, that I will give up my son so that you can have everlasting life. Oh, Lord, and what do I have to do? But mind you, you're looking at what you have and what you don't have, and when you begin to look up that, you try to compare, okay, what do I really have to that I'm bringing to the table? Same thing that came with the millionaire. He comes to your house and he begins to tell you of this great business opportunity, a great thing that it's already ventured to something that you already wanted to do. But because of the fact you look at, okay, well, I got a negative bank account. I got this. I'm not educated. I'm not all these things. I'm not blah, 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 blah. So you are apprehensive about coming into covenant with what he's saying that he has. And I understand you do your due diligence. You want to trust. You're going to trust everything. You're going to trust everything. But I mean, everything is 100% up on the up and up. But you are hesitant because of the fact of what you don't have. Or here's the thing that messes all of us up, is that you feel that you are going to fail. So you don't even try. You feel that, okay, I don't want to mess up that man's money. So now I'm going to pass on it. Right? And when you pass up on it, you can't argue with you. You said, okay, not a problem. He moves on to the next thing. And that person that takes the risk, which is a very simple risk, takes the risk, he begins to get a part of it, and they shoot up and they do great things. Everything be what it actually be. And now you sit over there and get upset because, you know, that was my opportunity. I was going to be that. You ain't got no bragging rights to that right now. That was my idea that I did. You have no bragging rights to that. But here's what happened. Is that you fail to believe. You fail to just think in a different way. What if this thing really could have worked? What if this goal that I have, as so surmountable that it may be, so hard it may be, what if it actually worked? And I know other people have tried it. I know other people are doing it. And they have their failures and they have their successes. But what is it that I bring to the table to make it different? What do you really have to lose? You see, I say this is because of the fact that a lot of times we as Christians, we walk by faith and we walk not by sight, but we walk by our faith. And we do that in a way every day. And I know majority of in here of us in here believes the same way that I do. I believe God can do the impossible. The only thing that God can't do is fail. That's what I believe. And I believe that in a way that where I had to do, I had to kind of put myself into the place what God stands for. And what I mean by that is we have to put ourselves into what God does and what God is and who God is and what he can do and what he can overcome and what he can tear down. You see, I don't know if you understand this, and I'm just about to close. I don't know if you understand it, but you serve a God that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. But this is the part that I like, and that just excites my soul. But it is according to the power that worketh inside of you. That lets me know and lets me to understand that, okay, my God that I serve can do supernatural things, but it is me that is holding and tying his hand. Because I failed to believe. Because I failed to walk and I failed to understand and I failed to just dream. I failed to imagine. I failed to look at the possibilities and see myself in another way. The Bible talks about souls of man. What is it? If a man thinketh, so is he. And the problem is, what do you think about yourself? What do you think? What makes you so bad that makes you feel? I know you cuss, but what makes it so bad? What makes you so bad that you feel that God doesn't love you? Or that you're not able to step into all the blessings that he has for you? What have you done in your life that makes it so cruel? What's going on inside of you that is so toxic that you feel that God wants to push you away? What is it that is inside? What has happened in your life that has caused you to think less about yourself when in Genesis God says that you were good? That in all throughout the whole levels of scripture, he talks about how he loves you. And that nothing can separate, oh my God, I feel it in my spirit. That nothing can separate you from his love. How do you have the audacity to put yourself in a lesser category than what God begins to put you on because of the fact you are his creation? He's invested his breath. You better look at something. God has invested his breath inside of you. How do you have the audacity to think that you are not worthy? How do you have the audacity to think that you are less than? How dare you think that God doesn't love you and that you cannot do great? How dare you? You don't have the ability to do that. You don't have the ability to think less than what you are. I'm going to tell you why you don't have that ability. Yes, God gives you a will that you can think and choose how you want to. But if you truly are serving and pleasing God, you have to understand that that's a thought process that I can't take on. Because here's the thing, is that you don't have the audacity to do that because you are a representation of who God is. And sometimes God will, sometimes God will use the worst of things to show how glorious he is. Sometimes we gotta understand this thing in our life. Sometimes God will allow you to fall or allow you to fail. And let other people surpass you. Listen to me. He will allow other people to surpass you just so he can get the glory out of your come up. He will allow you to get to the place where everything in your mind and your soul is depleted, but your faith. when your friends walk away from you, when all the opportunities don't come anymore, when you lose everything in your bank account. I've been there several times. Learn how to live in the negative. That's another sermon for another day. Hallelujah.
Oh, God.
Learn how to live in the negative. Learn how to praise in the negative. Oh, shoot, shoot, shoot now. Shoot, I'm trying not to. I need more. I need something for tomorrow. For Sunday, anyway. But he begins to come and he begins to tell you that all you have to do is think in your mind and you shall be. And when we fail to actually truly walk in this, we are living less than what he has already ordained for our lives. We're living less than that. He said that I came that you may have life. But he didn't say I came that you may have life but have a little bit.
Abundantly.
He said abundantly. Do you know what abundantly means?
A whole lot.
Abundantly means it's over and overflowing. Abundantly means that it's just like more and more keep coming. Abundantly means that it will never be depleted. That means that it's always got something flowing. So we have to look at ourselves and say, I've always got something going on. I always got something flowing in my life. I always got provision taking place in my life. And there is no lack in my life because when Christ came, and I believe that he came and he said that I came that you may have life. I got life because I'm still breathing. I got life because I'm still doing the things that I'm doing. I got life because I'm not stuck by the place that I was trying to kill me. I've overcome it. And it tried to tear me down. It tried to beat me up. It tried to take me out, but I'm still living. I'm still surviving. So I got life, and now I can walk in abundance. Because he said it in his word. He speaks it in his word. And all we got to do is just believe. It's so awesome that all we got to do is just believe. All you got to believe is just believe it. What if it could actually happen? What if it could actually take place? What if you could be the one that actually make that thing change? What if you could be the difference? What if your product or your system or your idea be the one that changes the life of not only one individual, but several individuals? What if it's you? I always hear a lot of times that if we were to go to the graveyard, if we would go to the graveyard, not only will you see a lot of bodies that's there, you'll see bodies or that are this small, and you'll see bodies that are this big. Okay? You'll see people, and I'm saying if you go through all the graveyards, you'll see time frames from so many different generations. Right? You'll see people that have lived so many different lives. They were sergeants, they were teachers, they were mothers, they were fathers, they were doctors, you know, they were philanthropists, whatever they were, right? You'll see so many people that lived in different areas of their life or honestly have done great things. But also what you'll see, this one thing that would never be shown on the grave is the ideas that never got put to fruition. Is the things that God may have spoken in us there, or I'll put it like this, the release that God said to them that, okay, yeah, just go ahead and do it. The books and the scripts and the inventions and the ideas and the medicine, you know, the what they call them, not medicine, the what? Medical things that could have been done. Procedures and surgeries that could have been created by the thought of a person that had it, but they failed to go and just do it. Right? And I know I'm talking in a sense of from like a business perspective or a dream perspective or anything like that, but even the simplistic thing of just living your life in a way that is beyond your circumstance, that's powerful to some people. Because sometimes people are just stuck in a particular bubble where the only thing that they know is what they know. And they don't want to go outside of their comfort zone or go outside of what they know to learn something different. And so they're stuck living a life that they predicated by themselves. They don't experience new things. They don't go new things. And what happens is when they become so confident and so used to that particular sphere of influence, and they have children, and because of the same thing, I'm just know what I know. Same thing happens, and you have a generation of people that begins to only be limited to just a one particular sphere. That's it. We were brought up in the projects. My mama was in the projects. My daddy was in the projects. My grandma was in the projects. So what's your plan for life? I'm going to live in the projects. Why? Thank you. Because you're scared to move to something greater. Even if you get an apartment near the projects. And visit it every now and then if you got to go back. But don't make it your place to stay there. Say, okay, auntie, yeah, that food was good, auntie. Can I get some Kool-Aid? Yo, thank you. Oh, thank you, that's good. Okay, well, you want to say, baby? No. What? Nah. Nah. Can the kids say? No. But they want to play with little Junior. Mm-hmm. I know they want to play with little Junebug, but mm-mm. Mm-mm. Now, Junebug and them can come here. And I'm going to tell you why. Because it's my responsibility to make sure that the atmosphere that my child is raised up in is an atmosphere that they can go outside of their comfort zone, outside of the box, and begin to achieve things that are greater than I could ever achieve. But if I just come and bring them to a place, they'll begin to see that, this ain't like my house. We don't do that. Y'all take a bath together. You don't do this at my house. And again, I don't want my kids to offend your lifestyle. So I'm going to take your children over to my house. I'm just joking. I'm playing. No, I'm for real. But what I'm saying is that we begin to create this bubble of can only do that. I did that. I'm doing that. Sometimes I try to break myself out of it. And it's crazy because I got so many ideas in my mind. It just sometimes it just frustrates me. I'm gonna be honest. I got so much stuff that's, oh yeah, you can do this, this, and this. And I started researching that stuff. And I'm like, okay, man, this thing can possibly happen. And there was a time that I didn't have the resources. That was the kicker. And I ain't got it per se, but now things have gotten to a point where things are shifted. Where things that used to cost so much and be so impossible, it ain't that easy, that hard right now. See, if you understand it, Keisha, education was one of the hardest things that black people could get. At one point in time. I've always seen those stories of this one black girl that had to be surrounded by all these little police officers because of segregation. And she was the only one that had to walk in there and do something that was completely different than anybody had ever did at her young age. She had to go to a school that was just now, they were forced to, I guess, integrate. They was forced to integrate. And she was the only student that had to sit there and go through all the ridicule, walk through those hallways, and get just to get the education. But what if she said, you know what, I don't want to go. That's okay. I'll just stay back over here and just learn what they're giving me over here. What if she stopped that? She stepped out, young age, and I'm sure she probably didn't know half of the stuff that was going on, but all she knew is that she wanted to learn. And she wanted to have an opportunity to learn something that was bigger and better than what they learned. Because here's the thing, is that she saw the results of what they were getting and felt that there was something better. Sometimes you gotta just believe something better for yourself. And it's okay to do that. Sometimes you have to believe for a better life. Now I'm talking physically and I'm also talking spiritually. Sometimes you just have to get in a place in your mind that okay, you know what? I know that God has created me for better than where I'm living right now. And I have to shift myself so that I can make sure that I'm everything and doing everything and I will be able to fulfill everything that the Word of God says. And so that means that there are some decisions, some hard, rough decisions that I have to make. Am I going to serve him? That's one of them. Am I going to truly give him my heart? Am I going to conform myself to the ways of Christ? And am I going to allow him to lead me? Am I going to allow, do I trust him enough to lead me and to guide me and to teach me and to show me the things that I should and should not do? Do I trust him enough? Do I trust him enough that when I'm in adversity or I'm in a conflict with somebody, do I trust that he will say the right things that I want him to say or I need him to say? Because I know what I'm going to say. And I know how it's going to hit him. Pow!
That's not getting ourselves.
But do I trust him to let him handle it? Do I trust him that no matter what happens, he will handle it the way that he needs to handle it? That he gets the glory and I will build on the other side. Do we trust him that much? Do we believe in him that much? Do we believe in him enough to say that, okay, I'm going to put you in this particular level, all these people, and I'm going to give you everything that you need to survive? Do we believe in him? If I can share this one, I guess I can, because she's not here. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to share her testimony a little bit. So my wife was blessed with a promotion on her job.
Amen.
And it was interesting because she shared with me a testimony, and she probably, I hope it's okay for me to share. If it's okay for me to share, praise God. Thank you. but it, and I thought about it, and it was so awesome. She was praying. She said, you know, she did a little walk and everything like that, and she was praying. He said, God, and she was grateful that, you know, brother, they got here, but I pray that you would just give me what I need to say to help these people. Or give me, in a sense, I mean, she could say it better than I can, but she was basically saying, give me the, what I need, give me the wisdom of what I need to do to help them with this particular problem in my position, right? So her goal is that she wants to be successful in the position that God has given her. And so it was so funny, it was interesting, because she prayed that, right? And when she prayed it and was able to get back into, you know, getting on her job, she had the most busiest day that probably she ever had because people called her with problems. And she was able to just take care of it. And she's like, you know what, God's like. You know what I'm saying? Because I prayed for it and he got it. That's what we, that's the God that we serve. That's what we are working with.
Yeah.
Is that when we ask, he delivers. That's a part of the contract. That's a part of the covenant. That's a part of it. If we were to go down into Hebrews, right, and you begin to just go, just read all the way down, I didn't read all of it, but just go read down to Hebrews, and it starts to give you the whole history of everything. But here's the thing that I learned as I was on my way here, is that I can truly say that the God that I serve can separate the Red Sea. I can truly say that he can break the jaw of the lion. I can truly say that he can raise from the dead. I can truly say that he can heal the sick. And he will use me to do that. I can truly say that. You know why? Because of the fact that everything that Hebrews talks about was a testimony of the power and the glory of God. And if I'm bold enough just to believe that the very same thing that Moses and David and all those people that went through is the very same God that would do the same supernatural stuff in my life. Noah didn't know how to build no doggone ship. But he knew what the bottom of a bottle looked like. And God gave him the ability. And here's the crazy part of it. He still went, he did better than most of us that knew how to build a ship. He was getting ridiculed and everything was not looking the way they were supposed to go. He said, okay, God, hey, I want you to build a ship. What? I want you to build a ship. I'm not building no ship, no. I want you to build a ship. Okay, I'll build a ship. Build a ship. And people said, no, why are you building this ship? Why are you building? He ain't gonna be loud either. Nah, I don't know what you're talking about. All I know is God said to build a ship, so I'm gonna build a ship. He probably thought in his mind that, God, I'm a drunkard. I don't know how to build no shit. Why are you using me? He might have thought that in his mind, but I guarantee you it wasn't for a long period of time. Because when the truck bought the supplies for the ship, he's like, okay, I need somebody. And when his wife was out there helping him, you know, she's like, Lord,
Y'all know how y'all do sometimes. Okay, y'all know how y'all do. They said, Lord, whatever you got in him, you know, I don't see it, Jesus. But, you know, just make this thing come out all right. So that we don't, you know, mess up our family. Okay, Lord. If you hurt him in the process, amen. It's gonna be all right. But don't hurt him in the process. But I'm gonna try to support him. You don't understand it, Lord. I mean, why is he doing this, Jesus? I don't know. But I'm just gonna go by faith. Bring him some Kool-Aid while he out there having them there. But she bought him some Kool-Aid. I'm sure she got ridiculed from her family or from the people. Why is your husband building a ship? Y'all ain't raining something like that. Years. God said there's a flood coming. I love him. That's my man. I love him. I love me some him. May not agree with everything, but okay. And the next thing you know, God showed up. Showed up. Everybody trying to get in the ship now. See, first you were denying and now you're all upholding me. Now you want to come into the ship. What I'm saying is that I can put myself in a place where God can use me exactly how I am. And the part that is so awesome to me is, I'm about to close, in my third or fourth close. The part that is so awesome to me, because I think it was in John 3:16, and you read down further. I think it was another scripture that I was reading. But it talks about when the part that God does, right, or the part that God promises, okay, it hinges on the concept of living a life that is in line with the Word of God. I'm gonna say that again. Let's probably say it in a more different way. Is that, yes, we believe, okay? We believe. It opens up a door for all the blessings and the favor and all the things that God speaks of about in his word, right? But what solidifies that thing that comes to us is not only believing that all this does and can come, but also believing that our life has to be lined up with the word of God for all of those things to come, but to never be thrown, torn away, to be delayed, or to be shifted. So it's like a covenant where God does his part, you are required to do your part. Now, in a covenant or in a contract or in an agreement, like say, for example, here, this building, we have a contract. You know, if we fail to do our part of the contract, then we don't get the blessings or the benefits of doing our part to what he's obligated to do. If he fails in that contract, then he doesn't get the blessings of what we're willing to give to be a part of what we are. It's a twofold thing. So when we get to that place of really believing, not only do we just say that with our mouth and we believe it, but we line up everything in our heart and our soul and our spirit to allow him to know that we believe everything he said. I don't know where all that is. I know it's a little dude. It's okay. We allow it to know that we believe everything that you said. So I have a problem. And this is just my only thing. It's because if we are Christians, if we are the children of God,
And we are asking or believing that we'll get God's going to take care of us in our particular circumstances, situations. And when we call upon him, he will answer, right? We cannot get upset if he doesn't answer because we're not lined up where we need to be. What I'm saying is that it goes far beyond just being a Christian. Because technically, everybody can be a Christian. We all are children of God, right? But it's something about when your lifestyle lines up with the Word of God, is that God begins to move towards you in a supernatural way, more so than those that are still struggling to get it right, but saying that they got it right. I'm trying to say something without really saying it, but I probably wouldn't have said it anyway. You cannot, okay, so you can go to church, you can give your tithe, you can give your offering, you can have a praise break, you can wear the white, you can slap all the oil on your head, okay? You can give it to all the auxiliaries. You can even give to the sick, give to the poor, give to the hungry, do all those good things, right? You can even stay back and begin to clean the church. You can even donate and give money to somebody else and you ain't got to tell nobody about it. But when you go back home to your house and the person that is there at your house opening the door that is sitting down on the couch that is not your husband and they reside there,
not lined up.
And the thing that God does and he gives is given to you because of the belief, but he only gives you the grace and the mercy of it. He doesn't give you the full abundance of it. You better come on and preach for me, teacher. He gives you just enough to, because of the covenant of what you're seeing, and he says, because it's a principle of what he says. But he doesn't give you the abundance of the overflow. Why should he give you the abundance of the overflow when you don't understand how to handle what you currently got right now? Because what you currently got right now is not causing you to change and shift your life to get into a position where you say, God, I'm grateful for everything that you've done. Let me get this out of my situation. Let me get this out of my life. And it goes far beyond a person being that whatever is residing in your heart, whatever is residing in your spirit, whatever is residing in your flesh that is not like God. Whatever you attach yourself that you have not married yourself to, in the biblical sense. Whatever you're shacking up with. You don't say that. May not be a person, but it may be alcohol. It may be illicit sexual activities on the internet. It may be the animosity that you may have in your heart for somebody else. So he gives you that grace and mercy so that you can get yourself together, but you're not really truly walking into the abundance. I say that by experience. You're not walking to the abundance of it because he has to withhold himself because he can't agree with you on that part. Just like on a contract, there are certain things that the parties have to agree upon. If there's something that I don't agree with that, then okay, well, if you're going to do that, then we're going to withhold this. That's the same thing. We miss out on the fullness of everything that God has because the lifestyle is not lined up completely to what God said. So the question that I ask is, do you really believe this? Because if you believe that he is, that's what it talks about in the last part of Hebrews. Well, can somebody put in Hebrews that last scripture I gave you? What was the last scripture in there? At least you put your Bibles and your iPhones and everything. Jump it up. It's all right. I got it.
It says,
Hebrews 11 and 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a, here it is right here, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently. What does diligent mean? That means that it's just consistent, constantly. No matter what, I'm still going to go and seek the love and the power of God, going from wherever I am. Diligently does not mean I'm going to do this, and this, but I'm going to hold on to this. Because that serves my flesh. That's not diligent. So you don't get the full reward. You only get part of it. But if you were able to believe in him, and let that go, then all of a sudden you'll see that things start happening supernaturally. It may be kind of rough at a little bit at a point in time, but all of a sudden these things start to kind of get supernatural. When you let go of that fear, all of a sudden it may seem like rough. It may seem a little rough and maybe a little this, but all of a sudden things start to work out. When you look back on it, you're like, my God, God did. I'm going to say this, and I'll say this on the end. Sometimes you have to face fear until you no longer have fear. Sometimes you have to face that thing till that thing no longer be a problem. Sometimes you have to face the bully till the bully understands that I'm not afraid of you anymore. And whatever the enemy is using to bully your life, you have to believe that my God is able. He can tear up the jaw of the lion. He surely can tear down this. He can knock the Philistine down with a pebble. He surely can take care of the situation. It's all about your belief. Come on, give God praise.
Amen.
I pray that this message has gotten into the thicket of your heart.